cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. And we have those witnesses from the past, don't we? Great men and women of God who through church history, even in the scriptures, are powerful pointers to faithful obedience to Christ. And we can draw strength from their examples and courage from their testimonies. We read the scriptures, we see the difficult things they went through, and yet they just inspire us to keep on wanting to run this race with perseverance. And we don't only have witnesses from the past, we also have witnesses in the present. Men and women today who are still walking with Christ after many, many years. Tonight, before we get into the sermon later on, there are testimonies of two men that we want to hear, two faithful men in this church who have walked with God for many, many years. And they're going to come and share one at a time for about 10 minutes what the Lord has taught them over the many years. The first one's going to be Grant Tarrant, and he's going to be followed immediately after that by Rick Trolley, two men that the Lord has done great things with and through. So, Grant, come and share with us what the Lord has taught you over many, many years. And Rick, when he's done, wherever you are, I don't see. Oh, there you are. You can come up after.
Good evening. When our pastor asked me to share some thoughts this evening, I was somewhat hesitant, being that Helen and I are empty nesters. However, I quickly realized that I, once a father, always a father, and now a proud grandfather. So please bear with me for the next few minutes. Allow me to reminisce and recall fond memories. I grew up in a Christian home, and God gave me a Christian wife to assist me as we walked down that wonderful road of parenthood. A successful home rests on a godly foundation for the devoted mother and father. Scripture tells us that unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. I felt and continue to feel that my greatest calling is to provide our children with a Christian father, providing godly wisdom, support, and counsel. Scripture also tells us that our children are a heritage from the Lord, loaned to us to teach them, love them, and to raise them according to God's values, and to see them shape the future. This responsibility is far greater than any earthly father can accomplish. We need the guidance of our Heavenly Father. This spiritual calling for me is a very sober responsibility, not one to be taken lightly. We fathers must have that powerful desire to follow Christ, to adhere to the biblical truth that God gave to us in His Word. The most important reason that I should obey Scripture is to model obedience for my children, my adult children in this case, and for my grandchildren. Has been determined that children become 90% what their parents are. My responsibility as a father began in the mid-1960s. And like many of you, we made many adjustments to our lifestyle. However, one thing that remained unchanged in our home was the regular attendance at Sunday school and at church. Scripture is very clear that we should not give up meeting together, and that all Scripture is God-breathed, encourage us to live and raise our children according to His principles. It was our desire to bring our children up on the rock, solid foundation of Jesus Christ, to know Him and to hunger and thirst for His Word and become willing servants to be used by God. I am so very sure that to begin this walk with Christ at an early age is far less difficult than attempting to do it in later years. We read Bible stories to our children. As they grew older, they were encouraged to read the Scriptures on a regular basis, to memorize key passages and those promises that will be very vital to them for the rest of their lives. Scripture tells us to meditate on God's promises, His wonderful works, and to meditate all day long, day and night. I always wanted to be available to my children whenever they needed me. Whenever they wanted to talk, I wanted to be there to listen and to offer encouragement. I made mistakes. I had to admit those mistakes and ask for my children's forgiveness. I would not want to give room for a root of bitterness to develop because of unforgiveness. I well remember those special times at the hockey rinks, the soccer fields, those dance lessons, figure skating competitions, those parent-teacher nights, and of course, those graduation nights. And how about those romp in the malls when we shopped for Christmas gifts, those birthday gifts, and for those Mother's Day gifts? They were special times, and those memories linger on. I well remember praying with our children at bedtime and just sitting on the side of their bed to talk about their day. I wanted to share in their ups and their downs and just to be a good listener. It was in those times that knowing the Scriptures was very important in how we could apply it to those very real life situations. I remember those times that I would take one of them out for breakfast, just have some solid one-on-one conversations. They were and continue to be very precious times to me. Now, when those times for dating arrived in our home with very little notice, I was quick to remind them, each of them, of God's words. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And as a gentle reminder, I would leave them with this question. Why in the world would you want to date a non-Christian when God's words are so very clear about not marrying a non-Christian? As many of you came to know our family, our adult children obeyed God's direction for this very important part of their lives. Certainly an answer to our prayers. The time came for our teenagers to pursue post-secondary education, which took each of them away from home. That was when my faith was really tested. I began to wonder if I had done all that I could in establishing a solid Christian foundation in order to prepare them for what lay ahead. I made sure that they had my phone number from work for those times when they just wanted to talk or to seek some fatherly advice. During those times, God's promises continued to roll through my mind. In Matthew, Jesus tells us that it's completely senseless to worry. In Romans, we are told that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Proverbs say we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. However, my most promise was in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I thank God for His words of comfort and peace. God is good. God is faithful. And God always keeps His promises. The Lord will bless those who uphold prayer and His word. I wanted to give our children solid, firm roots, foundation based on Christ, and also wings as they would develop into the next generation of godly leaders and role models. Throughout life, doors close silently, quickly and firmly, with only your memories left. For those of you who still have children living in your homes, make sure that you make the most of those precious days. Develop those relationships that will last a lifetime. those relationships are not established in those early years, the chances of them taking your advice in their teenage years and beyond will be greatly reduced, slim to none. When it became time for adult children to establish their own homes, they were reminded of God's words to make God their highest priority and let Him do the building. To become involved in the church where God is present and His word is both preached and obeyed, and to live their lives for Jesus Christ. How my adult children, and of course my grandchildren, live their lives is very important to me. God's values were to be at the center of their lives. Children keep you on your knees, but the benefits are out of this world. I would want my adult children to say that their foundation in life was good, and that we as parents believed in them and encouraged them. It has been said that belief and encouragement are the matches which light the candles of their dreams. Every father is a role model for his family, positive or negative. While careers are important, nothing can compare with providing a solid spiritual foundation for our children. Our examples of a godly character will equip them to impact the world for our Heavenly Father's glory. And in conclusion, Scripture tells us to fear God and keep His commandments.
What he said. Okay, we serve a God. You might want to turn this down. I talk pretty loud. We serve a God with a great sense of humor. A couple of years ago, Nevin and I were driving somewhere, and things were quite quiet in the van. And as many of, if any of you know me, that's not a situation I'm comfortable with. I like it to be a little louder. Anyway, it was raining, and the wipers were going, and I started singing a little ditty. Little ducky doddle went wading in a puddle. Exactly. So Nevin gives me this look like he's gone nuts. This is, this is as common around our house. It's really the look they give us is a polite way of saying that, you know, he's losing it. But anyway, we do have a sense of humor. A few seconds later, we go around the corner, and there's this small puddle on the side of the road, and there's a duck in it. Okay? So Nevin and I, we just about died laughing. So God does have a sense of humor. I told you that to tell you this. Nevin's been given an amazing honor. He's been chosen the valedictorian of his grade 8 graduation class. He came home, let's just say, not thrilled. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do the speech. He doesn't want to be up in front of people. But I had the opportunity to encourage him. I said to him, God has given you this great honor. The people will be encouraged. I know you'll do a great job. I know this is out of your comfort zone, and I truly meant it. So fast forward a week or two, I come in the door, and the answering machine is flashing. Pastor Jacques says, Sunday's Father's Day. My mind quickly realized what was up. Okay. Before he got to the end of the message, I had 10 to 20 reasons why I couldn't do this. Then at the end of the message, he said, I know this is outside your comfort zone. The people of God will be blessed. I know you will do a great job. I think the pastor was talking to Nevin or God. Somebody told him what to say. Anyway, this didn't make me want to do it, but it sure made me laugh, made me smile. Anyway, so I would be a hypocrite if I had said no to him after telling Nevin that he should be glad to do this. So here I am, Lord, use me. The question that the pastor asked me to consider is, what does it mean to be a Christian dad? Being a Christian parent is simple. It's just not easy. Before I get into that, I need to give you a little bit of background. When I was in my 20s, I loved holding and playing with little babies. People would tell me that I'd make a good father. I knew that I wanted to be a father. When I was 27, Nancy and I had been married for a few years. We decided that it was time for us to have children. 3 years later, God decided it was time for us to have children. So this was the first, one of the a tough few years. We had to accept God's will for our lives. It was tough to imagine not having children. This was one of the many examples of me thinking that God was saying no when he was really saying not yet. He wanted us to know that these children were his gift. Regan was born, and at that moment, I became a father that was a Christian. Nancy and I dedicated Regan to the Lord. And we were committing him to that we would raise him according to the owner's manual, the Bible. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. 2 years later, Josh came along. While preparing for his dedication service, there was a tragedy on the news. I don't really remember the details, but I do remember that two children had died. And I thought to myself, if God ever took my children away from me, I'd be very angry. I'm cleaning that up. It was pretty angry thoughts. Immediately, I knew that that was a wrong feeling. I knew that my heart was wrong. And that was the very moment that I became a Christian father and not a father that was a Christian. These children are not mine. They belong to God. As many years as God allows me to raise and influence these children, I will count as pure blessing. If God should take my wife, my children, and all that I have, praise his name. I used to hate the story of Job. Until that moment, I felt that God was going to take away everything that I wanted to keep. And I'm talking about good and proper things, my wife and my children. But I felt it was okay to hold on to them. I'd lost sight of the fact that all is his to give and to take. Job 1:21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. I was focused on the gift and not the giver. I'd love to tell you that day a light switch turned on, and since then I always focus on the giver. The truth is, it's been a 16-year journey of small steps. I can honestly say now that I trust in the giver more than the gifts, but it's still an ongoing battle. We have so many blessings, it's too easy to slip. I now truly understand that God is the master provider, loving father, and my loving father. Without complete surrender, I have and I am nothing. But with complete surrender, a slave to Christ, yoked together with the Holy Spirit, I'm actually a king in God's eyes. Psalm 2 talks about how we want to break the chains and fetters between us and God. We want to do these things on our own. We want to de-yoke from the Holy Spirit. Most of you understand how a yoke works. The stronger ox takes the larger load. It seems unfair. God is stronger and he wants to take the whole load. This is simple, but it's not easy. So how has being a Christian made a difference in being a dad? At first I thought this was a little like saying, does speaking English make a difference in your life? It's the only language that I know. I started to reflect on this and on what our lives would be like if I had not accepted God's gift, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about me personally. This is not generic. I'm by human nature very evil, and I'm a manipulative person. I'm very self-controlling. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I know that my wife would have divorced me by now. Instead, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary soon. I know that my children would probably hate me and be anxious to get out on their own. Instead, we have a loving and healthy relationship. They're still going to get out on their own in the proper time. I can't dwell on how helpless and afraid I would have been if I was responsible for my wife and children. I trust in God, read his word, and pray for his will and direction. What does that mean? Well, if you don't understand, believe, and trust in the sovereignty of God, I would strongly recommend that you study the Bible and search your heart until you know what you believe. This issue will affect every decision in your life. God owns everything and is in control of everything. So how does that help? A couple of years ago, Regan got his driver's license. Friday night came and he drove Joshua and Nevin to youth group. At 10 p.m., I went to bed. Nancy said, shouldn't we stay up and wait for them? I know that God is over all. We turn the phone on, that's responsible, and we fell asleep. It's so freeing. I know that God gave me the father-son relationship to help me understand the relationship with Him. A small part of Nancy and a small part of me came together, and through God's blessing, three boys were born into the Trolley family. They did nothing. They did nothing themselves to reap the blessings and the grief of this family. Is that fair? No. You'll never hear me say, that's not fair. The boys know if they slip and say, that's not fair, or life's not fair, they will be in for a discussion on why we need to thank God daily that life's not fair. God chose me, a sinner, a wretch, worthy of death, sent His Son in my place. This is the only thing that's not fair. The first truth that He revealed to me was that I'm part of His family through His choosing and nothing that I did or can do. That's not fair. Ephesians 1:11. In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Children were given to me to help me comprehend unconditional love. We love our children from the moment they're conceived. They're part of Nancy and I, and we love them. They didn't do anything, they just are. As they grow, they choose to accept or reject guidance, direction, discipline. They choose to accept or reject the family. When they obey us, we are blessed, we're happy. When they reject us or disobey us, we're sad. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son brings joy to the father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. I know that analogies and word pictures break down at some point, so don't overanalyze this. God loves me unconditionally. What I choose to do will make Him happy or sad. When a child of mine makes a mess, whether it's a literal or figurative mess, I long for him to come to me, confess what he has done, and ask to be forgiven. I want so badly to forgive them and even help them clean up their mess. Sometimes they need to be punished, and sometimes they just need to be forgiven. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us and help us clean up our messes. I enjoy the times that a child just comes to me and wants to talk. The conversation can be deep or it can be about nothing. We raised our young children in the 90s. This was the all about me time. The buzzword of the day was quality time. Spend quality time with your kids. This is garbage. I said it then and I say it now. This was justification to spend less time with your kids. You need to spend quantity time. The quality will be there. If you ask me if I would rather go golfing with a friend or dig a ditch with my sons, I would grab my shovel. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather go golfing with the boys. But my point is, God wants us to spend time with Him, share our thoughts and dreams, whether deep or nothing. He cares. He communicates to me through prayer, church, and the Bible. I need to spend quantity time. The quality will happen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. This is quantity. I may be able to fool myself into thinking that church attendance, prayer meetings, and Bible studies are not indicators of my love for Christ, but I can't fool my kids. The last thing He revealed to me is that I like candy, and my boys like candy. Occasionally, Nancy and I will take the boys to Bolt Barn. They would each choose a selection of their favorites. It makes my heart glad if they offer me some of their candy. Not just because I like candy. When it comes to candy, I have all I want. I could drive to the store. I have money. I don't need their candy. As a matter of fact, the money that we bought their candy, belongs to us. I just like to see the appreciation and the acknowledgement of who is giving them the gift. I love to see them share. If they were to hang on to the candy and consume it themselves, how soon do you think that we'll go back to the Bolt Barn? Again, word pictures fall apart. I'm not saying give to get. I'm saying I need to remember that all of the candy is God's. Make sure you're pleasing Him. Matthew 25:14-30 is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read the whole thing, But let's just say it ends with weeping and gnashing of teeth. So getting back to the question, how does being a Christian father make a difference in how I conduct myself? I think about making faces and sticking my tongue out at babies and how they try so hard to mimic me. I remember as a 2-year-old, one of my children put on my shoes and coat and walked around saying, "I'm daddy and I'm grumpy." They want to imitate you so bad. They want to be just like you. And that's scary. Children watch you more than they listen to you. They're looking to see what you love. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree. So what do you spend your time and talents on? Don't tell your children to do things that you're not doing. You're wasting your time. If you focus on honoring your father, your children will learn how to honor their father. I'm talking about God, but they will bring honor to you. Your children know what you love. I try always to focus on the fact that these boys are not mine. I will someday answer for every word, decision, action concerning his children and any other gift or talent that he has trusted me with. It sounds daunting, but the truth is he equips me with all I need. I am responsible on a daily basis to make the right decisions, but if I yoke myself with God, he will pull the burden. Forgive me when I make mistakes and help me clean up my messes. Happy Father's Day, God.